Blog Talk Radio.
All right, here we go. The very first premiere episode of Reality Rules. I am Andrew Gibson coming to you live
Reality
from Conroe,
Rules.
Texas. What's going on? Coming to you live from Conroe, Texas. It's the premiere of Reality Rules with Andrew Gibson and producer Mama S. Today's episode is brought to you by the Flip Flop Company for wrestlers. They want to promote that Austin left the house with his flip-flops off on his own permission, and furthermore are dropping him as an endorsement for not wearing flip-flops as he exited the house. So true, so true. Here we are with the very first premiere episode of Reality Rules Podcast, the podcast for all things reality. I am your host, Andrew Katcha, and here with me as my producer slash co-host is Mama S. Mama S, how are you tonight?
I'm great.
Awesome. We are bringing our first podcast, and we're going to tell you a little bit about what Reality Rules is. It's a podcast that's going to cover all things reality, from reality to online reality games, to in-person reality games. You can follow us on Twitter at Reality Rules and the number one. You can like our Facebook page, or you can also get into our chat here and communicate us with us that way. We also have our chat here, or you can even call 805-285-9730. Mama S, will you write that number in the chat for us? So people can see the number and call in what we can. We've got a jam-packed show for you today. We're going to be looking at Big Brother and what's coming up in that. And we're also going to be having later Sandy coming on to brand new iSurvivor series that's getting started. We've got some advertisements, some twists, and lots of things as we go through this hour. So I'm excited. I hope you're excited, and let's jump into it. We're getting into the end of the show season here as Big Brother is starting to end and Survivor starting to premiere. We've got this Big Brother finale coming up next Wednesday, and we had last night's episode where we found out who our final three was. Mama S, do you like the final three?
No, I do not, and it's not a secret.
It's not a secret. Who do you want? Who
I'm happy
you want?
With
who
Steve
you?
Being there.
Steve? But
I wanted Johnny Mac and Steve.
Yeah, you were a Johnny Mac fan. It's hard for me to get on the Johnny Mac bandwagon. I mean, you got voted out once. But before we get into these final three and these final three breakdowns, I want to talk to what I think was the most awkward moment in last night's episode. That's the Brinchel interview. So basically, we all know Brendan and Rachel, they were in seasons, two different seasons. They came in their original season, and they came back the Golden Key season. And they came on, and they made this big announcement. I knew what the announcement was before they even made it. Did you also, Mama S?
Yeah, I've seen several postings about it throughout the day.
Yeah, it was obvious that there was going to be a Brinchel baby. It wasn't a shocker. It wasn't a surprise. What was funny about this for me is I'm basically seeing this as last year, Jeff and Jordan come on, and they have their big engagement, their big announcement in the backyard. And I just see Brendan sitting at home on their couch and Rachel going, "Brendan, we're the best showmance, but we don't get to come on to make our big life-changing announcements." And so Julie Chen's like, "Okay, we'll make a onesie. We'll bring them on the show. We'll announce that they're pregnant, and we'll move on with this." And it was probably the most awkward scene in Big Brother, but Brinchel got another spotlight, and we were able to move on with our lives. So it was interesting. It was awkward, but the final three was announced. So here's what I want to do. We're having the finale next Wednesday, and we've got the final three, Steve, Vanessa, and Liz. I have been watching many live feed spoilers, so we really don't know who the final three is going to be. But I want to just take this next about 10 to 15 minutes, and let's go down these final three in the three different pairs, and let's compare who we think the jury will vote for in these scenarios. So let's look at Steve and Vanessa first. Now, this is the final three that the final two. I think that Steve and Vanessa have played the best games out of the three, and I think it'll be a very interesting matchup come finale night. I don't know. Which of the three, who are you wanting in the final two?
At this point, I would say whoever Steve takes is going to win.
Steve has a shot.
I don't think so, personally.
Interesting. Well, let's break it down. Okay, so let's say Steve and Vanessa are the final two. Let's go juror by juror. Who do you think Shelly votes for?
If Steve and Vanessa, Shelly votes Vanessa.
I agree. What about Jackie?
Jackie, she'll vote Steve.
See, I disagree there. I think Jackie votes Vanessa. Steve was the sole reason she went home on the double eviction. He was the HOH that sent her home by missing
her. She'll vote Steve.
Okay. What about Becky? Becky would be the third one.
Ooh, I don't know.
I have Becky voting Vanessa.
Yeah.
I have Becky voting Vanessa, and then we go to Meg. I kind of have Meg and James here together because I think however James votes is how Meg's going to vote.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
They were attached at the hip. They were together pretty much this whole time. I think whoever Meg's vote is the same as James. And I have them both in a Steve-Vanessa scenario. Do you agree or disagree? Are you there? I might have lost Mama S. That's okay, so we'll keep going. In a James and Julia scenario, them both voting in a Steve scenario. And then when we get down to Julia, I think that Julia and Austin, I'm going to kind of put them in this same concept, in this same situation with Julia, Liz, and Austin, because I also kind of like the Meg and James scenario, think that they vote the same way. So with Julia and Austin, they are in this scenario actually voting for Vanessa to win. And then that brings me to the J-Mac vote, Johnny Mac. You never know exactly how Johnny Mac is going to vote. And in these scenarios, I have Johnny Mac voting Steve. Him and Steve were pretty close, especially there at the end game. So I don't see
see him voting Steve completely. I don't think he would vote for the other two at all.
Yeah, I think Johnny Mac votes Steve. The only situation where he doesn't vote Steve is if Steve is not in the final two. So according to my calculations, and you're back, I'm glad. I must have accidentally muted you. We're still working on the episode. We'll get better as we go. Thanks for tuning in. Share it on Facebook. Tweet us at RealityRules1. In a Steve-Vanessa scenario, I have Vanessa winning 5-3. No, 5-4. There's nine jurors.
I think it'll be 6-3.
You think 6-3. So because you have Jackie. Who's your third vote? Steve, J-Mac.
I think the only ones that will vote for Steve is Jackie, J-Mac, and possibly Meg.
Don't forget to also chat with us here. If you have any opinions on who you think, or you can give us a call at 805-285-9730. So Steve and Vanessa happens in that scenario. What do you think happens in a Steve-Liz scenario? Shelly would be our first. Shelly's a Steve vote.
Yes, I think she would vote Steve in that.
I think Shelly, I mean, based on the jury segment that Shelly had last night, it's pretty obvious that Shelly's going to vote based on gameplay. Shelly's going to vote on
which
who played the best
game. Which they all should.
And they all should, but we know that this is Big Brother, and that's not always saying there's no way that she has my vote. The only way she had my vote was if she was with me in the end, which is stupid because he couldn't vote anyway. So basically Austin says, you know, no way that she has my vote, but Shelly steps up and says, you can't complain about the fact that she's dominated this game. But then Austin and says that Vanessa had a lot of flaws to her game and a lot of mistakes in her gameplay. So it's very interesting, the variety we have there between that. And James is somebody that I thought would be like, okay, you beat me, you're the better person. But James is on the couch agreeing with Austin as Shelly, but I digress. I do. In a Steve Liz scenario, how do you think Jackie votes?
I think she votes with Steve still.
See, I have Jackie voting Liz. I just don't see Jackie casting the vote for Steve. You're giving her better credit than I am. I think she's going to be a bitter. The main reason she left.
I think
left.
She would be more bitter toward the women than she would be toward a man.
Just because.
Her personality.
Just
because.
Her personality. Yeah. I mean,
I
could see that.
That's how jurors seem to vote. I mean, if Steve makes it with either of them, I think Steve played better than Liz, but Vanessa did play better than them both. I'm not a fan of hers, but she's there.
And if we have time before Sandy comes in, if we have time before that, I want to get back to the whole Vanessa gameplay, but let's keep going down. Becky, in a Steve-Liz scenario, who does Becky vote? I said Steve. I said Becky, Meg, and James all vote Steve.
Yeah, along with Jackie. I mean, Steve still loses.
This is the hard one. Steve and Liz, final two. How does Liz's twin sister, Julia, vote?
Oh, she's going to vote with her sister.
Absolutely. There's no hard about that. That's a pretty cut and dry vote. Austin, I think, also will vote Liz in any scenario if Liz is there. So how would, if Vanessa, this is an interesting vote, if Vanessa's sitting in the jury, in the final jury seat, how does she vote?
I think she votes Steve.
I agree. I have in this scenario, and then of course J-Mac, we've already said, would vote Steve. I have Steve winning over Liz 6-3.
Yeah.
With the only votes for Steve or for Liz
that.
Being Jackie and the others. Okay, and then we have Vanessa and Liz. What do you think happens in this scenario? I mean, you have pretty much, I think Vanessa can pretty much claim that Liz was like her goat in this game. And that would be my.
Said most of them were.
People, Vanessa dominated this game in every aspect. And again, we're going to have a little bit of time here in a second, and I do want to talk about that. But I think Shelley votes Vanessa. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
I think Jackie votes Vanessa. I think Becky votes. And then I think Meg votes. I think my prediction in the Vanessa Liz final two, I think that Vanessa wins 6-2. I think the only votes she drops are Julia and Austin.
Yeah, I think Vanessa would win 7-2.
Yeah, 7-2. That's right. What she drops are Liz and Austin. I think that even Johnny Mack in that certain scenario says this. So basically we say if Vanessa we'll just start calculations right there. If Vanessa's in the final two, we think she wins.
Yes. I guess she definitely wins if she's in the final two with either of them.
Okay, Vanessa played the best game, but you don't like her gameplay. Why do you not like Vanessa's gameplay?
You know what? It's not her gameplay. I think she played an amazing game. She lied to people. She kept herself there. It's just she wasn't my favorite player.
Is there a certain reason?
No, I mean, I liked other players better than her. I liked Johnny Mack. I even liked Shelly. I didn't connect with Vanessa, but I think she's an amazing game player. She makes it to the end. She deserves to win. She did everything she could to stay there. She cried.
She lied.
She made deals.
Vanessa was my preseason pick from the very beginning. She's going to play it like a poker player. She's going to do anything. If you have any comments to say or this, we have some time for some callers. You can call on 805-285-9730, or you can ask questions or give your opinions in our chat right here on the page. But we do have time. 805-97 dominated this game in every aspect. And people are like, she cried so much and she did these things. But that was her strategy, and that's what she did and used to manipulate her way, to make people feel bad over her. One of my favorite instances, anytime she's HOH and veto's used, because if she's going to nominate somebody, she wants a reason to nominate them. I think she played a very similar game to Derek from last season. And that's what kind of gets me on this, is Derek might not have had the tears that Vanessa had, but he had his other ways of manipulation. He had out, and he still was able to get to the end that way versus Vanessa's tears. But I'm hearing Derek's the bigger game player. Derek's the better game player. They played very, very similar games. I don't get the difference in the two for them to be saying and having so much Vanessa hate out there. Jokers, Vanessa in the player popularity poll has been towards the bottom almost since like week three. She's kind of like a Frankie Grande. Those first 3 weeks, she was very, very looked at, very, very looked after, very popular. People really enjoyed watching Vanessa. She became hated and hated and hated by more people. But I don't see the difference in her gameplay versus anybody else. Now, I do think that Steve gets to the final two. I think Steve can make a case. I think Steve can make a story for that. But I'm just nervous about Steve getting in that moment and his nerves getting the best of it. We've seen that happen so many times this season. How many times have we seen him breaking down, crying to the camera because he has made a mistake or people wouldn't be proud or people. So there's lots of different things. We have a caller, so let's bring him on. Yes. Who do we have?
Hey, it's Wade.
Hey, Wade. What's going on, buddy?
Wade. Not much, man. Just listening. Just got home from work. Long ass day.
I think he's going to win it.
Probably Vanessa, even though I don't like her. She probably is going to win. Just like you said, I don't think Austin or Julia is going to win. Or, I mean, vote her, but I don't think anyone else could win against her. The only person who had a chance was Johnny Mac. And
okay,
that's
so that brings
up
a couple points. Why do you – I don't get the Vanessa hate out there. Why do you not like Vanessa?
She started off in the beginning, if you watched her interview, she said she was going to play it emotionless, just like a poker player. She then continues. In the beginning, she even said she wanted –
Yeah, because
then,
of her girlfriend,
because
she missed her girlfriend so much.
Yeah. And I understand that, but still, you think about it, it's kind of unnerving. I did give her credit for like her comp wins and all that. I just don't like the way she, like some people say they can do something, but none of them stick to it. It's really nerve wracking when people say they're gonna play a certain way, and none of them can hold up onto that promise.
And I get what you're saying there. I get the emotional aspect of it. But do you think that those are true emotions? Like, I understand her crying for her girlfriend, but when she, like, has stabbed somebody in the back and she's crying, do you think she's really crying because she's upset? Or do you think that she's crying because she is faking it and trying to make them feel a certain way?
I think it's more of a stress factor because she's trying to make them think that she's sad, but it's really just stress because she's, like, come on, can't you just figure this shit out, people? Come on. But at the same time, you don't really know until the end game when she explains everything.
And I want to bring up one more thing with you. You said Johnny Mac. If Johnny Mac's in the end, you really think if Johnny Mac's sitting in the final two, Johnny Mac wins?
He has a chance. Everyone
you
else
don't,
left.
Not if he was sitting there with Vanessa. If he was sitting there with Vanessa, Vanessa still wins. As much as I
think
like he was stupid for throwing all those games. He was stupid for throwing Battle of the Blacks. He did what they wanted to do. If he did it on his own accord, that would be different. He did it because Vanessa and them told him to.
I think he'd get, okay, in that case, I think he'd get an extra vote. He'd get three votes. He wouldn't get two.
But he'd still lose.
I don't see, and I guess this is just the game player in me. I have a problem with him getting evicted and winning the game.
I forgot that happened. That's my fault.
He came back.
You
never make an argument for him when you have Liz and you have Vanessa and you have Steve that never was evicted.
The only person he'd have a chance is against Austin because, I mean, did you see the way he walked out?
He walked out. Barefoot. You missed it. You probably missed my intro video, but my intro video was a disclaimer for the flip-flop wrestling company that said they are not endorsing Austin anymore because he didn't wear his shoes as he exited. It was entertaining there. But, yeah. So, hey, wait, thanks for calling. We've got an announcement. I actually recorded a commercial coming up here in a little bit that y'all will hear that Wade has coming up. So, Wade, if they want more information about this game as we talk about it later, how can they get a hold of you?
Just message me on Facebook or hit me up on Skype. Wade Sturt 20001.
What was that Skype name, Wade?
Wade Sturt 20001.
I got about 5 or 6 viewers right now, so they might be able to get that. Hey, Wade, thanks for calling.
No problem, man.
So, yeah, that was Wade. We're going to be talking about his game coming up here in about 5 or 10 minutes. And he totally forgot the Johnny Mac thing. That was kind of funny. But, I mean, I get what he's saying there. But my question is, and if anybody else wants Skype messages asking about how the number is 805-285-9730. We have time for about one more caller before we move on to the iSurvivor interview, 805-285-9730. I understand him playing this emotionless game, and she comes in and she says she's going to play this emotionless game. But you hear from so many Big Brother contestants, Survivor contestants, for people that come on and say they came in with this pre-made strategy, they came in with this goal plan, but they get in the game and realize everything that they had said from the beginning, once you're in that scenario, doesn't work. And I think Vanessa had to adapt of what she did. She wanted to come in and play this like a poker game, but it's not a poker game, Susan. I mean, these are live people. There's no...
I agree. I mean, I think she did an amazing job. It's just she wasn't my fan pick. I mean, we all have our favorites that we want to do well or not want to do well. She just happened to be my not to do well, but... she deserves it. If she makes it to then, I give her total credit. She did awesome. She did everything she could to stay there, and she did it. She deserves everybody's vote.
Let's just look.
You can't play
Big Brother without
backstabbing somebody.
Oh, absolutely. We see this game, and we know that the final three HOH, part one is always endurance, part two is some kind of physical, mental competition, and part three is jury questions. Looking at and knowing that information, who do you think comes out victorious here? Part one of the three left, who do you think the longest and wins?
I think Steve would do better at the jury questions, at the more brainier questions and comps than he would have done at the endurance. I mean, we all watched. I don't want to give it away, but we know who won the first part, right?
Right. I don't know, we probably don't, so we're not going to say that. So we don't know that for sure. But I don't think Steve has proven enough in endurance challenges this year for me to give him the credit there. If I'm going to give credit to anybody in that area, I'm going to give it to Vanessa. She's proven herself in jury questions. We have another call. This might be Sandy. We're going to go ahead and take it just in case. You're on Reality Rules. Who have you been talking to?
What up? It's your boy, Sandy Zoll.
Sandy, what's going on?
Not much, buddy. How are you?
Good. Hey, we're going to get to iSurvivor here in just 1 second. Our Big Brother comment. Who do you think is going to win it all?
Vanessa.
Now, do you like Vanessa winning, or are you a Vanessa hater or a Vanessa fan?
I haven't turned into a Vanessa fan. I'm not a Vanessa fan, but because...
See, nobody's a Vanessa fan, but they give her the credit.
I'm a Vanessa fan.
It's the fact that all... it's like all the people that I liked and were rooting for are gone. So now I'm just stuck with the people that I wasn't rooting for at all, but like the best game player of the people I wasn't rooting for.
Team Johnny Mac?
No.
Who were you rooting for?
James.
Okay, yeah, and I can get on that. All right, so that wraps up for the Big Brother section that we have here. We're really excited. We're going to be back next Wednesday night, and we're going to be covering Survivor and Big Brother. Make sure you tune in and watch our Facebook for that information. We got a quick commercial for Wade's game coming up that we just talked about, and then we're going to jump into the org world and talk a little iSurvivor. A new game coming to Facebook is Blackout. It is a third-person competition-based alias game. It is ran by none other than Jason Voorhees himself and has many famous killers and survivors trying to kill and or survive once again. Your goal is to be on top or get your lights snuffed out, because if you aren't, you're blacked out. For more information, see Wade on Facebook at Wade James Lee. See Wade on Facebook for more information on the upcoming game Blackout, a horror mixed horror sure to keep your lights on. Awesome. That's Wade's game that he was talking about earlier coming up. It's going to be good. We're moving on to our org section. And for those of you that don't know and they're listening because you like Big Brother or Survivor or online reality games, basically a group of people that are crazy, like to be yelled at, like to be backstabbed. I'm a part of that group. Everybody is. And we play games on many different people. I've been in orgs for almost 7-8 years. Susan, you've been in them for what, a year and a half, 2 years?
Like 15 months.
It's 15 months, but a year and a half, almost getting close.
Right.
And I always know when I think of orgs, the longest running, probably most successful Survivor org series of all time is iSurvivor. And we have the host of iSurvivor, Sandy, on our show with us today. Sandy, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and why you got started in orgs and how you got started, and then we'll go from there.
Gotcha. Thank you, Angie. Thank you, Susan. It's awesome being here. My name is Sandy. For those who are listening and don't know me, I am 29 years old currently, and I live in LA. And my full-time job is a host, but I do work in TV and film when I see fit. So iSurvivor started when I was 17 years old. It was when I had this crazy idea to see if there was a way to play Survivor online. I was like this little 13, 14, 15-year-old kid, just obsessed with this concept, like putting people on an island and then just like letting them do and be, and then they had to vote each other out, and then there was a last man standing. Like, that whole entire concept was amazing. So after Survivor was on the air for a few years, I was like, dude, I'm not old enough to be on Survivor, but I want to play it. And I guess I Googled online Survivor games, and that brought me to Yahoo Groups. And that was where I first started playing games, was in the Yahoo Groups. After my first couple of games, I decided, hey, let me host one. And there was, I don't know if any of y'all remember this, way back when the internet first started, a website called GeoCities.
GeoCities. I think I played one or two games on there.
Yeah, it's like a way old, like, build-it-yourself website. Like, well, that's where iSurvivor started, way back in 2006, 2007 on GeoCities. And then once social media became a thing, like MySpace and Facebook, it just took off from there, guys. And here I am today, still doing it.
That's awesome. Your 25th season started officially yesterday, isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've played in 2 iSurvivor seasons, and I failed miserably in both of them. Susan played in 1 and had technical difficulties that were able to get.
Oh, my God, that was like the worst month of my life. When I signed up for Sandy's game and got picked, we had a tornado, an electrical fire, and then my aunt died.
I remember
so
that.
It was pretty much written in the stars that I was just
written
gone.
In stars.
But that's what impresses me the most about Sandy as a host is, like, he remembers almost every single game he's ever hosted. You can come up and say something, and he's pretty good and pretty handy about that. So iSurvivor, obviously 25th season, lots of success, lots of good things have happened. Why do you think that is? What makes iSurvivor different from any other game? I mean, you have a following. You have the alumni stick around and crave for this game season. What makes iSurvivor so different?
I feel like I've gotten this question so much over the years, and I don't ever think I've answered it appropriately, or I really don't know, bro. I don't know why they keep on sticking around. I don't know why it's gotten so big. I think it's maybe just the passion I have as a host and the time and energy that I put into each season. It reflects in the experience they have, and my only guess is, like, they enjoy it, and they keep on coming back or want it or accept my invites to play again. So, I mean, I credit all of my success to, like, the players. So,
and I've got that question coming up here in a little bit too. If you have any questions for Sandy, you can call 805-285-9730. But let's pick your brain. We know that you, like you said, you know your games pretty well. What would you say is your favorite season out of 24 seasons that you've ever hosted of iSurvivor?
My favorite season is always a season where, like, we have a really active cast, and I just see the passion from the players almost immediately. And that usually tends to be with all-star seasons where I get to really feel and see that passion. It's so hard to pick, but I'm going to say my favorite was last year's All-Stars 3. I got to see 30 of the most competitive, awesome iSurvivors ever. battle it out. And it was like, I thought the series was ending at All-Stars 3. So it was just like a culmination of 10 years of hard work, the 30 best players. I feel like, a super satisfying season for me.
And I did too. I thought All-Stars 3 was going to be the end. What made you pick back up and do a 25th season?
All right, well, so All-Stars 3 ended in the summer of 2014, and then the summer of 2015 starts, and I'm like, damn, like I'm on hiatus because, shows stop filming at a certain point. They don't pick up again until mid-August. Damn, I'm on hiatus. Like, I'm on unemployment. I can go get a part-time job and then just relax for the summer. And I was like, let me host again, dude. And
so we hear this and we see this. Does that mean 25 is going to be the end? How long are we looking at Die Survivor?
Oh, no. Well, here's the thing. I'm probably going to – I'm going to try to do at least 1 year till the day I die. At least 1 year.
So, he's going to be in a nursing home like 89 saying, make sure I have my computer. I have to post
like,
the challenge.
With my cane shaking in the air.
That's awesome. Okay, back to your favorite. What is your –
Yeah.
What do you think is the best move that anybody has ever made at Survivor?
In my game or the actual game?
No, in yours, in iSurvivor.
Oh, one of the most, this might not be the best move, but one of the most memorable loss moves of recent history that's like in front of my mind is Audrey in her season, in season 21 in Venezuela. She finds an idol.
Before
okay?
we go on, Audrey Middleton, Big Brother contestant, was a contestant on iSurvivor.
Yes, yes, yes. Audrey Middleton, Big Brother 17 contestant, played in season 21, which took place in the winter of 2013, start of the year or something like that, maybe early spring. But one of the craziest moves that I just – when everybody asks, like, what's one of the craziest moves or how did Audrey play, like, I wrap this up with just a quick sentence. She found an idol. She then proceeded to replace it with fake idol and then lure her best ally, Kai, into fighting the idol. Then they replace it with a fake idol. Kai and Audrey lure another ally, Alex, into finding that second idol, which was fake. So now Audrey has a real idol, Kai has a fake idol, Alex has a fake idol. They create, all the three of them create another fake idol, hide that, and then this young gentleman, Robert Gray, comes to find an idol. So literally, Audrey has this one idol, all these other people have these fake idols, and she's just sitting there, like, filing her nails, and I'm like, I got the real idol, bitch. And then...
And how did she do in her season?
Oh, she won.
She did win. Okay, so Audrey won.
Yeah, Audrey's the winner of iSurvivor.
I didn't realize that.
But yeah, that move itself, just like making all of the idols, and then she ended up using her idol to idol out the first girl that she made, that she, like, Kai, that girl that she showed the idol to first.
Wow.
She used her idol to idol out her friend. It was amazing.
So as somebody that's hosted Audrey before, what do you think of her play in Big Brother?
I was super hopeful. It's so awesome just, seeing somebody and somebody that I've hosted in a game that I know on, like, an intricate level where I know, like, how their mind sort of works. It was just super awesome and super – it was, like, a fun experience. Like, Big Brother is always a great experience when it starts, but then, there's the premiere show of seeing somebody and hosted and win your series on TV. It was just, like, kind of surreal.
But were you disappointed in her gameplay?
Yeah, if you weren't disappointed in your game, I would ask you to rewatch the season.
Absolutely. I think she tried to play it too much like an org.
Yeah, here's the thing, guys. Like, we play games, right? So, games are just in a different pace. You can always be thinking, and your brains can all, and your wheels can always be turning in an org. Because people don't see that. You could be thinking 24/7 about the game at your own house, And then the people in the game, they only see the wheels turning maybe 30-40% of the time. So I feel like Audrey just took that gaming perspective of the wheels always turning, always going, always strategizing, trying to think into the game where you have real people, you have like a cowboy, you have a fucking, all these just regular people to where they see this girl who's always
an Asian cowboy too. To make sure we get that Asian
An Asian cowboy, and they're all like, "This girl's fucking crazy," She won't stop thinking strategy. Like, what's wrong with her? And to us, we're like, we have that sort of brain, and I think she needed to turn it off. So you hit the nail on the head saying she was playing like an org.
But I got disappointed when she just shut down. Down there. The blanket and the hoodie and the glasses. That was breaking my heart. Okay, let's go back to iSurvivor. Who is your, and this might be different or it might be the same, who's your favorite castaway to ever play iSurvivor?
Tom Zuniga, TMZ by far.
Awesome.
You might not know of him, but he's a season four player. He played in maybe two or three of my All-Stars since then. And he's a young – he's like – we call him the IS grandfather. He took the road trip last year and probably met 50-60 Ice River alumni as he hit up the countries and the states – the states, rather.
So it's not
but,
just
yeah, he's my favorite.
Play
old
in
school.
The game. It's his passion. Okay,
wait,
so I said it's not just his gameplay in there. It's just his passion that he has for the Ice Survivors.
Yeah,
the fact that he
yeah,
wants to
just
meet
the
these
one
people.
Yeah, he's sticking around and bringing people together till this day.
That's pretty cool. So here's what I love about iSurvivor, and here's one of my favorite things. I looked at the cast of season 25 when it came out, and it hit. I think you have an intense cast. I think it's going to be an awesome season. But here's what I want to ask. Your casts are always so diverse. You have people from 10 Gauge. You have people from Facebook. You have people that never have played. What's your secret in getting such a diverse cast for your game?
I whore myself out. Anywhere I can get iSurvivor's name out there. If I meet someone, I introduce myself in real life. I'm like, hey, I host an org in real life. You want to play? Like, that's the point where I've gotten. I'm not ashamed. I just want people to, I'm from all walks of life, from all areas of the internet, the interweb, like Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube, anywhere else that I like my pop culture websites, if I'm on a forum, I'll mention it. And if they add me on Skype, we just take it from there. And then once they add me on Skype, it's game over. They love me. They want to
play. Oh, yeah, you're salesman at heart. Now, when did iSurvivor, it has a cash prize, doesn't it?
And what? Yeah, this season. The past two seasons. Yeah.
The past two seasons. So have you gotten more of an influx? How does the cash prize change the game from when it didn't have a cash prize? Because, I mean, heck, if you had a cash prize the seasons I played, I probably would have played a little harder.
Yeah, right? Well, exactly. I wanted to come back because everybody thought iSurvivor was over. So when it came back, I wanted to come back with something a little elevated. It was a still same old game, still same old Sandy, still same old iSurvivor. But this time, since it was a rebirth, I can afford it. Now that I'm older and I'm turning into an adult, so why not? Like, I put a lot of time and effort, and I want the people who put time and effort into the game to be awarded. So yeah, I feel like it elevates it. Again, I try to keep it as real as possible, so cash prize is, you know, you get a cash prize for actually doing the real show, so I want a little stipend for those who deserve it and get the crown.
but we don't see your cash prize raising too soon, do we?
Pardon?
Your cash prize probably won't raise to $1 million anytime soon.
Unless I become a millionaire, I doubt it. Or
you don't have
this like
budget.
Unless we get super high, like iSurvivor takes it to the next level and starts getting advertisers and shit. We'll keep it maybe a couple grand in the next couple of years.
There we go. All right, a couple more. What can you tell us about the new season? I know you can't reveal too much because you might have some people playing, watching, but what can you tell us that season 25 is going to have in store for us?
All right, well, I'll tell you one little secret, some little fun fact. Season 25 was only supposed to be a 16-person cast, but this is typical Sandy. You'll know this.
Absolutely.
If
you can't
get
say
to know
no.
me. I'm really smart and savvy, but I'm also blocked. And when I went to go edit the video, I edited it with 17 people because towards the end of casting, you're always tossing up one or two people, two or three. And I guess I rendered it with 17, and as I was counting the cast, making my check-in list, I realized, oh, shit, there's 17. So, yeah, we're working with my mistake.
Now, is it easy for people if they wanted, can you watch iSurvivor as it goes?
You can watch it from afar. You can talk to the cast. But in terms of, like, viewers being able to see what goes on from behind the scenes other than what's visually available, no.
So like,
sorry.
Your intro posts for each round, are they able to read those?
My what posts?
Like the intro posts, like when you put your day one, this is what happened. And
oh,
is
yeah,
that
yeah,
available
yeah.
for
yeah,
viewers and
things? They'll be able to chronologically, like, what happened in the timeline for sure, yeah.
So it's not a secret that there's no tribes this first round. That was pretty awesome
yeah,
when I read that last
Yeah, not a secret that
night.
There are no tribes, exactly. So we're starting out tribeless this season. That's not a secret. Having an exile island isn't a secret. And we're just at the start of Challenge 1. And it's going to be a good season, I really think. Like you said, we have people from all over the gaming sphere. We have a whole handful of people who've never played an org before. So it's all about adapting, socializing, meeting new people, and being the most savagiest of the savages.
If people want to get a hold of you for more information, where can they reach you at? You're on Skype?
I'm on Skype at sandy.pomales. That is my name, U-I-P-O-M-A-L-E-S. You can contact me on Twitter at iSurvivor and Facebook at iSurvivor.
And tips for anyone to apply in the future?
Tips. Definitely, if you're interested and you see an application up, guys, audition. Don't wait till last minute or don't play in your head like, oh, shouldn't I? Just audition. The people who auditioned earlier are the ones that legitimately stay in our mind. And don't be afraid. Be yourself. And don't be afraid to try something new.
Awesome. All right, we got one more thing, Sandy. We play a game with all of our guests. So I haven't told you about this yet, but we're going to get you to play the game. It's called The Hot Seat. Let me play the little intro.
It's the 60-second hot seat.
It's the 60-second hot seat. This is how it works. I'm going to put 60 seconds on the clock. I have 10 words or names, and I want you, as I go through in 60 seconds, to give me one word. What's the first word that pops into your head when I say these 10 things, okay?
Okay. So the first word that pops in my head?
Here we go. Pops in your head, one word. Now, some of these are org-related, and some of them are just random-related.
Okay, deal.
Here we go. 60 seconds on the clock starting now. Donald Trump.
Really?
Second word. This is a private joke between me and you, but I'm going to do it anyway. Cracks.
Cheer in.
Number three, Heather Lee Cameron.
Controversial.
Four, unicorns.
Cute.
Five, alcohol.
I'd rather have pot, so nasty, nasty, nasty.
Oh, number six, Tom Brady.
Who?
Exactly. Number seven, spaghetti and meatballs.
Yes, Italians. So, yes.
Italian. Number eight, you're going to bring her up. Number eight was Audrey Middleton.
Misunderstood.
Misunderstood. That's a good one. Number nine, Survivor Second Chances.
Kimmy!
Kimmy. And number 10 will always be our number 10 call in.
Kimmy
with a K. Andrew Gibson.
Charming.
Easy. Charming. Good answer. We got Sandy, the host of iSurvivor. Hey, thanks for joining us. Hopefully you'll come back maybe. Be at the end of season 25 and we can recap it.
Thank you so much, Andrew. It's been awesome. Shocking that you even wanted to interview me, but it's been a pleasure. And anytime you want me back, just holla.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy.
Take care.
You too. Man, that was a good interview. Good to have Sandy on. What'd you think about that, Susan?
It was great having him on. I think he's a great host. I mean, the 2 short weeks I was in iSurvivor were awesome.
Absolutely. And again, if you have not played iSurvivor, please sign up. Those of you that are in the current season, good luck. Play hard. If you play hard in that game, it's usually the people that really play the hardest and put the time into it that are successful in that. So, and with that, hey guys, thanks for joining us with our first episode of Reality Rules. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have. A couple of announcements for what's coming up. Our next episode will be next Wednesday. I've got to look at the time for everything that's ending. We're going to have a recap episode of the Big Brother finale and this year. And we're also looking for a couple of people that want to come on and talk about those different episodes and talk about those different things with us. If you're interested in that, hit us up on that. Also, make sure you check us out on Facebook at Reality Rules, Twitter at Reality Rules 1. We've got lots of things happening, lots of things coming. Susan, thank you so much tonight. And I have a couple of quick more announcements. Vanessa, Susan will be back with us next Wednesday. There is a mini tomorrow night. Joshua Felix is hosting a mini on Friday at 10:30. If you have any information or would like to play, see him on Skype. We're also going to be starting
a new
segment.
Andrew and I will be there.
Oh, Susan's playing. I don't know if I am or not yet. I have softball on Friday, so it just depends what time I get home. from that.
I'm still up with my broken ankle, fractured knee, so I have nothing better to do but be online.
Absolutely, and what a better way. Joshua's minis are always fun. And also, if you're interested in a week, you can nominate somebody by sending me or Susan information as to why they should be Orger of the Week, and we'll be sure to follow that up and have that segment coming up here in 2 weeks. But that's all we got for Reality Rules. We hope to catch you back next Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in, and share it with your friends. Thanks, guys.